Hey guys, before we start the podcast, I just want to take a second to let you guys know that we're now on Stitcher Radio. So for all your friends who don't have an iPhone or iTunes, they could find us on Stitcher Radio. So please go and tell all your friends who don't have iTunes to go on Stitcher Radio so they could be a part of the Nerd Imperium. Hello, sexy nerds of the Nerd Imperium. Welcome to another episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast with your inner conclave of nerdom. When we are your hosts and that inner conclave of nerdom, my name is Diz. I'm your pop culture and sports nerd.
I'm Ali, the classic nerd.
And I'm V. What am I again?
God damn it. Are you still finding yourself? Is that still a thing?
I'm on my personal journey right now.
Can we just send him to like a Tibetan temple so he could go like on a spirit hunt and find himself?
Tibetan, you know, spiritualism would be good if someone was on a spiritual quest. I don't know if it does much for pathetic.
I wouldn't say you're pathetic. I just think that you need to find yourself. You know,
I feel you, like you're like a little lost bulldog.
Oh. Wow. Like a French bulldog or like a British bulldog?
French. For sure.
I don't know.
No, British Bulldog.
British Bulldog? You're Davy Boy Smith.
They look more upset, don't they?
A little bit.
I don't...
Your natural inclination is to...
To be sad?
Look miserable and feel sad. You have a melancholic personality.
Wow.
Melancholic is not a bad thing. It's just... That's what the Greeks would call it.
Melancholy?
You have an overabundance of melancholic fluid. That's sort of the Greeks believed that all of medicine and personality were a balance of humors. There were fluids that existed in the body.
Okay.
And an overabundance of one or another, you know, it would lead to a sanguine personality, a phlegmatic personality,
okay,
or melancholic personality. So there's too much melancholic fluid in V.
So we need
fluid to drain. He needs to drain the pipe.
I'm pretty sure at GNC they have like supplements for that. Can you take those?
Wait, did you say a GNC or GNC? Yeah, or General Nutrition Center.
I thought you were making a pun.
Like the GNC.
Yeah, I thought you were making a Greek pun.
No, I wasn't trying to.
That would have been funny.
Yeah, Greek
and intelligent.
Yeah, but I am neither. I'm unintentionally funny with my stupidity. But, yeah, that's debatable. But no, at GNC they have those medicines.
He needs a wife.
I don't know, man. What you're saying, like a woman could just cure all your problems?
Is that... I don't know. I feel like a woman can cure most problems.
I don't know,
especially,
man,
for a melancholic person.
No, man. Women are crazy. All right. So
I think it'll keep you busy. First of all,
busy.
It'll keep you busy.
Busy.
I think it will also uplift you a bit.
Uplift, indeed.
Yeah. Or do you think that it would just he'd bring her down?
Okay. So here's what happens. All right.
If he gets married,
I've noticed this with women. All right. They want to check your cell phones at all times. They want to know who you texting. They want to know, like, who you FaceTiming. And then all of a sudden you get a FaceTime from Pizza Hut in the middle of the night, and you're fucked.
Yeah, that's because you put your side chick under Pizza Hut.
I'm glad you knew the term side chick.
I'm not that out of it. I live in the 21st century.
That is true, but you have, like, 19th century soul.
I teach millennials.
That's also true.
That seems kind of ridiculous, though, because, like, why would you have Pizza Hut on your contacts list?
Because it's a benign name.
Like, yeah, you can't put like Lexi from Tinder if you have a girlfriend.
Well, I know that.
And even guys' names other than like Mike can come off as like female. Who's Mike?
Yeah.
If your best friend Mike is calling you at 3 a.m, the girl's still gonna get pissed.
Yeah.
First of all, this is an extraordinarily sexist and gendered way of looking at things, to be honest with you. Men can be just as crazy.
That is true.
I've seen the YouTube videos.
That is true.
Please take me back. Are you one of those?
No.
Are you a please take me back?
No,
have you ever begged?
No.
Be honest.
I've never begged. Because it's like...
You've never begged.
Because...
Have you ever lost your cool? Have you ever lost your shit? Like a week later you went, man, that was stupid of me.
Yeah.
Not like lost your temper.
Oh, okay.
Like lost your cool. Like you went full retard, as the saying goes. As the offensive saying goes.
Maybe when I was in high school.
You went full retard?
Possibly,
What'd you do? Be honest.
I think to woo her back, right? Because I fucked up. I fucked up pretty hard. Like
you done fucked up.
I lost my temper, right?
Yeah.
And my temper used to be really bad.
I can attest to the fact that you still have a pretty bad temper.
But it takes a lot to get me to it now.
Used to be worse.
Yeah. So like
now you're just always angry.
Yeah, I've kind of learned to control it.
You're an alcoholic now.
Yeah, it helps.
Whereas back in the day you weren't, so it was like.
Yeah, so I was just angry.
It was just like you were violently angry.
Yeah, exactly. Alcohol has helped me cure my anger.
No, it just condensed it in a period of time. It hasn't cured you.
It's cured it.
We see it come out.
Sometimes.
It's just, it happens. Now we can schedule it.
Every now and then, Dr. Bruce Banner turns into the Incredible Hulk. But so I got angry. She was like talking to another dude. Like, it was probably innocent, but in my mind, as a little fucking 16-year-old, don't talk to no other guy. And I flipped out and like,
don't you be talking to nobody.
Yeah, I don't care if that's your cousin. Right? Like I got really mad.
Why did you go? You really went with the accent
there. I don't know. Like, because when I think of people that banged their
really
cousin.
Was it really your cousin?
No. It was
That's no. Really messed up.
But no, it was an actual dude. So, all right.
Then again, we come from a culture where cousins do marry each other.
Yeah. So
maybe there's something.
Let me date myself here. Okay. So this is how the argument started. I wake up one day, I go on MySpace.
I saw your MySpace. I knew you were going to say that.
So I go on her MySpace, and on her top eight, it's this random dude. I'm like, who the fuck is this dude, right? Like, I've never met this guy. Why is he in her top eight? And why the fuck am I not in the top eight, right?
Like, but there was always drama around the top eight and but shit. Like who you put on there. Like, you do it deliberately. Yeah. You're like, fuck someone.
But when
not
you're,
my friend anymore.
But when you're in a relationship, your partner's got to be, especially in high school, they got to be your number one.
That's what I'm saying, though.
Right?
People did it deliberately. If you were not on the top eight, she did that deliberately.
That's what I'm saying, right? So I got pissed and I flipped out. I called, like, yo, who the fuck is this dude? Blah, 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 blah. You cheating on me, bitch. Blah, 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 blah. I'm 16. Leave me the fuck alone. So you cheating on me? Fuck you. Blah, 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 blah. And he's going off, right? Come to find out, like, because I wasn't letting her talk. She's like, and she's just like, no, he's just my friend. Blah, 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 right? Kind
of
find out.
A lot of blah, blah, blah. And
yeah, it's just there's a lot more upset.
I don't know.
It was me.
Blah, blah, blah. The blah, blah, blah sounds like there might be some juicy tidbits.
Yeah, the blah, blah, blah usually covers some
profanities.
Juicy.
Profanities, me yelling at her. Profanities, her yelling at me.
I let you wear my panties.
Fuck you, bitch.
Like, that type of stuff is covered in the blah, blah, blah.
No, I wasn't sure. Yes,
you promised you wouldn't tell nobody.
No. So it's like we're going at it. Come to find out, her fucking friend just like changed it. And she didn't realize that she took me out of it. But like her friend put that on there, right? And I felt like a tool bag afterwards. So I walked over to her house in the middle of the night knowing that she loved gummy worms.
Oh, no.
So I went with the bag.
You did a stalker move.
I didn't do a stalker move.
A stalker move.
I left a bag of gummy worms for her.
It's a stalker move.
She thought it was the greatest thing in the world the next day. But I still felt like a bitch after looking back like, damn, bro. I literally walked out of my house at 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Walked 3 miles.
Creeper move. So these are the fascinatingly odd ways of negotiating relationships, right? It's like there's certain things that, like, if you are in love or you're attracted to someone or they're good looking,
mm-hmm.
any of those, that they could do certain things and you go, oh, that's cute. But if someone else were to do it, you'd be like, motherfucker's a stalker, he's a creeper, right? So like I've always remarked that if you ever read Twilight, which I have had the misfortune of reading, it's
because you got forced to read it.
Yeah. I read it of my own free volition.
Yeah. And it's part of his top three favorite books of all time, by the way.
It's my number one.
It's number one. Dawn's number two.
I consider
New
it,
Moon's number three.
Consider it the 21st century's answer to Shakespeare. So I also watched the movies during the premiere.
Twice.
That was an experience. Have you ever done that before?
Watched hell no, bro.
One of the Twilight
surrounded by 12-year-olds?
Oh, Lord. No, it's not the 12-year-olds.
I'm not worried.
It's the moms.
Yeah,
incidentally,
it's the moms that's the problem.
Yeah. I think there might have been another dude in there. Probably Jared from Subway.
Ooh, damn, bro. He said that you went straight like pure pedophile almost.
I didn't say anything about you being a pedophile.
There was a bunch of moms there in there.
Fair enough.
In fact, I think masturbating moms is what helped recover the economy.
Wow.
Let's be real. There's a lot of grown-ass women throwing their panties at what's his name? Taylor Lautner?
Yeah.
He's a 16-year-old kid.
Robert Pattinson.
Or even
18 plus.
Yeah. What's his name? When Zac Efron was still a thing.
Yeah, so like
plenty of 40-year-olds gushing themselves for that.
Have y'all been seeing like the pictures of like the premieres of these like 50 Shades movies of like the theaters afterwards?
Mm-mm. Oh, the cucumber thing?
Yeah.
I heard about that.
They heard about that too.
They find cucumbers.
Here's the question, though: is why are you taking cucumbers in?
Well, because you can't take your vibrator in because it's.
I'm saying, but there's, I mean, let's be professional about it. There's right? dildos.
Yeah,
that's true.
I don't know, well, man. The fuck, I'm not a fucking.
It just seems more logical that you could take something with you that you can then take home rather than leave a cucumber.
Let's or
just what, leave leaving it. Evidence yeah. of your nest.
The thing is, though, you know, maybe it's just like if your bag happens to get checked, you know, there's
a cucumber there,
yeah,
in
there's
it.
There's just a vegetable right, in
that,
it.
Because that's any less. I mean, if I see a cucumber in anybody's purse at yeah. any time, I'm like,
But the thing is, though, it's like
nobody can, eats. Yeah. I have never seen anyone. Oh. Are you a horse?
Well, no, but the thing
sir,
about
I'm
that,
a vegan.
Yeah.
And part of my vegan diet is vegetables.
The thing about that, though, is though they can assume all they want, right? But when they write the report, they'll just be like, well, there was a zucchini in there, you know? Well, no, but they can't be like, well, there was a...
I wouldn't write zucchini.
Yeah.
Or cucumber.
What would you have wrote? Phallic
vegetable? I would have said phallic vegetable. Suspiciously phallic vegetable.
Suspiciously phallic-shaped vegetable.
That's what I would write. You've got to know how to use the language.
That's wrong.
This is what an advanced degree gets you, Diz.
And at the end of the day,
you can create suspicion.
Listen, more details are better than less details, and it's really about doing a thorough job.
Yeah, this is what like if I ever sent a kid like if I was a high school teacher, which I never would be.
Okay,
and had to send kids home.
Uh-huh.
I would write the best teacher notes ever.
For real, like what?
Yeah, anything very like anything. Non like very casual would be turned into very suspect, right? Mm-hmm. Kids that speak out of class, you know, rather than saying kid continue to speak, you would write kid violated code of conduct.
See, oh, yeah, I mean, hey, sound, yeah,
what
yeah.
the fuck did you do? Code of conduct, what the hell?
I was playing slapped,
agreed upon contract, right? Like, what the hell did you do? Oh, he was speaking in class. That's fantastic.
Well, sir, you made it seem like he murdered a child.
Well, it's the equivalent. Interrupting me is the equivalent.
Damn, no wonder why you like want to murder me like on a weekly basis.
And this is why I teach at a college level. Because I can get away with it there. I can't get away with it at a high school level.
Yeah, you'd get fucking fired.
I'd get fired in a heartbeat.
Real quick.
I'd send home too many students. For stupid shit, too. Which reminds me, I was trying to say something, actually, about Twilight. It's like everyone talks about the actions of Edward Cullen, the great literary hero, Edward Cullen.
He is the Odysseus of our age.
The Mr. Darcy of our age.
Who is that?
Oh, never mind. It would take too long to educate you.
Flowers for Algernon.
Yeah, okay, no.
What you just kind of...
Did you just throw out the only story you've ever read?
Tuesdays with Maury.
I hate his books, by the way.
The Shining.
Okay. Anyways, so if you ever read Twilight, the shit he does is creepy. He spies on her is what he basically does. He's like, I just like watching you sleep. Now, let me just state this.
Chandler kicked out a roommate for less.
Let's take away Robert Pattinson, teen heartthrob. Which I don't understand either. It's pasty ass, ugly, looking constipated all the time. Mm. Let's take him away.
Let's take away the age difference.
Let's take away the age difference, right?
100-year age difference.
We freak out when it's like 3 years. Right. Don't let an 18-year-old date a 15-year-old. But oh shit, 100 years old. Doesn't matter at this point in time if she's underage.
What's
I love the fact, too, that like in the book, she's such a Mormon, right? She's the author, Stephanie Meyer. Uh-huh. It's such a Mormon. She's like, he goes, I'm not going to sleep with you until you become legal. I'm like, wait a minute. You're 100 years old. her aging a year isn't going to make a difference to how creepy this is.
What would be the word for that? Mega statutory?
Yeah, I don't know what it was, but like, this is one of my favorite parts. She's like, we got to wait till your 18th birthday. But wait a minute, hold on there. That's literally takes it from 100 to 99.
Seriously.
It does nothing.
It's creepy when a 25-year-old does it. Like, what makes you think that? Yeah, it's like a 100-plus-year-old is going to be.
So take Robert Pattinson
away. And he's a corpse, too.
Take Robert Pattinson away and put Louis C.K. in that position. If Louis C.K. ever said to anyone in any movie or any story, I just like watching you sleep, what do you think people's reactions would be?
That's what I'm saying,
bro. They'd be horrified, right? So what happens when it's a non-attractive... Like, what you did, right?
What I did.
Was cute.
Yeah.
You showed up with what was it?
Gummy worms.
Gummy worms.
I didn't wake her up, though. I left it there.
Gummy worms. Okay. Why did I think it was Kit Kats?
I don't know, man.
Okay, whatever. Did you pick a particular color of gummy worms or just all of them?
No, I grabbed like a big couple bags.
You left bags there?
Yeah.
God, you guys just... I forget how cheap people were in their teenage years.
Did you have a job?
Like you couldn't have cut open the gummy worm bag and put it in a nice container?
No, motherfuckers, this is 2:30 in the morning.
With a bow.
This is 2:30 in the morning. Where the hell is I supposed to get a bow from?
At least a box or something.
I went to fucking 7-Eleven. I found fucking gummy worms. I grabbed a few.
Did you at least pull the price tag
like
off?
If you were smart, what you would have done is you would have gotten chocolate pudding, Oreos, and gummy worms, put the chocolate pudding down into a container, cover it with crushed up Oreos, then sprinkle the gummy worms.
Doing the
on
mud
top.
Pie thing?
Mud pie. Perfect for
or dirt pies.
13-year-old. Yeah, 13-year-old. What was it? 13, 16-year-old?
Like 16.
16. Same shit, right? But now imagine if her 32-year-old next door neighbor had done that.
Gotta whooped his ass, bro.
You see what I'm saying? So it's okay because you were attracted to one another, but when you're not, it's creepy. The entirety of the Twilight book is really just about a stalking stalker.
Stalking stalker.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he is. He's a stalking stalker.
A stalking stalker.
He stands outside her window and watches her sleep. He follows her around. He sniffs at her.
He does. He makes like weird faces.
He knows everything about her.
Like her pops and shit.
Yeah, he's like, I know you don't eat this and I know you don't eat that. Motherfucker, how do you know? Woody, where were you? I know your favorite shampoo. What?
Yeah.
Like, this motherfucker was watching her the whole time.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. It's like that's how it's a book about creepiness.
Yeah.
The same thing with the fucking 50 Shades of Grey, right?
Oh, yeah.
Cucumbers aside. It's a book about a guy completely dominating a woman, like controlling every aspect of her life. It's not S&M.
But chains and whips excite me.
S&M is a consensual thing. This dude acts like a big brother.
Right, she has to give him his phone and shit.
You know, I've always said we've had a abusive relationship with the government.
Yeah.
It is. We keep coming back for more.
Uh-huh. That's true.
They beat us.
They do.
And then every once in a while, they're like, your spaghetti was nice. I'm like, oh, he does have a soft side.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, hit him with that Stockholm Syndrome type shit.
9/11 was an inside job.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Beauty and the Beast. What'd you say?
Yeah. Nothing.
Stop it.
Shut the fuck up.
If you're going to say it right. Bush did 9/11.
Bush knocked down the towers.
Listen, I think people enjoy that type of abuse to some extent.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know? What, Beauty and the Beast just came out?
Yeah, exactly.
Beauty and the Beast is technically about Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah, also, I heard Ethan Hawke had to redo his candle dude a couple times because the accent was atrocious.
I heard his accent. It was pretty bad.
He was Luminate. I thought it was, what's his face? Obi-Wan Kenobi. I thought Ewan McGregor was...
I don't think so.
Or maybe it was Jude Law. I don't remember. But they're the same person.
Holy shit.
Jude Law, Ewan McGregor. They're the same person. We've discussed this.
Literally not the same person.
Yeah, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter.
You're British.
White.
You're white. You fucking Jude Law or Ewan McGregor. You're one to two.
The Paul Rudd of Britain.
Yeah.
No, Ben Affleck.
He's saying to Paul Rudd
Beauty and the Beast. Perfect example. Stockholm Syndrome. Yeah. Also... She's a furry.
Oh, yeah.
She's into furry.
You know, you got to tell you, there's probably a couple of cucumbers you found in that theater, too, one would think.
That's creepy.
I'm more impressed by the theaters that ended up with pineapples in them.
What?
Huh?
What did you just
say? See, now that's a letter I'd say send home. Lumineer was Ewan McGregor. I was right. It was Obi-Wan.
So then what the fuck were you reading?
Yeah, who the hell's Ethan Hawke?
I don't know.
Training Day, bro.
That was Training Day.
What the fuck? You can't even get your facts straight, for love of Christ's sake.
You're not
sake.
Even from the same country, man. At least I confused Jude Law and Ewan McGregor, who are very similar-looking British white dudes.
Training Day is almost the same movie.
He read an article about Training Day that redubbed his French accent.
Wait, what?
Training Day is almost the same movie as Beauty and the Beast.
No, it's not. He ends up killing a dude at the end of it.
I mean, they're almost the same. Seriously, because like Denzel...
Are you having a mental breakdown?
No, Denzel, you know, being... I mean, he's a beast, like, in Hollywood, right? Because he's, like, he's a good actor.
Denzel is not in the movie. Denzel is an actor.
Yes.
It doesn't matter, because he plays Denzel in every single movie.
That's not necessarily true. Yeah.
But the thing is, though, right? Ethan Hawke's all, like...
I'm having a hard time thinking of Denzel and that's not when he's not playing Denzel.
Exactly, right? Yeah.
Fences?
Okay.
John Q?
Yeah, okay. No, John Q is him. John Q is just him as a distraught dad.
Manchurian Candidate?
It's him as a soldier. He's got a point. I mean, he's a good actor, but he's like,
yeah.
He's like Robert Downey Jr. He plays. He's a good actor, but he's a
Book
good
of Eli. One, you certainly. He was blind Denzel.
One
Book
character.
Of
Eli.
Blind. No. What about him when he was in the military, and he won the Oscar for it? His
yeah,
first.
He generally
Oscar.
Plays himself. No,
he was crying
right,
in the military.
Yeah.
Different aspects. Robert Downey Jr. is the same way. There's certain actors that are brilliant at playing themselves or larger than life versions of themselves.
Hey, what was that movie that he looked all like distraught in that like they were making fun of him in the memes with the Uncle Denzel, like you know, like where he looked all weird. The meme, you know, the meme where like, he's got his mustache and it's all like raggedy, and it kind of looks weird.
No,
damn it, I'm gonna show you the meme and you'll know it. But keep going, carry on.
Anyway, Ethan Hawke gets roped into Denzel's world. Being forced in there. And
he's
eventually,
a cop.
He eventually helps Denzel.
He's a cop. How does he get roped in?
Well, because Denzel's forcing him to do crack and shit throughout the movie. It's almost the same thing.
I was with you with the Denzel plays Denzel.
See, remember that meme of Denzel.
You couldn't actually look it up?
I don't know. It's a meme with him like... Just,
but I don't know. I don't know about this other Denzel.
This is ridiculous.
Ethan Hawke.
You guys need to do your movie research.
Well, I'm a movie guy. You both... Well...
Him more so than me. I knew it was one of
them. Yeah, you're bad too, though.
I knew it was
you and McGregor and Jude Law.
They're the same person. God damn it. They're the same.
They're completely different.
They're not. They're both
one's
British.
One's older and balding. The other one's young.
They look the same, man. I can't tell him apart half the time. And I'm like, oh, it's Ewan. No, it's that's
so you think Jude. Obi-Wan Kenobi was Jude Law?
Sometimes.
Jesus Christ.
I can't tell the difference. I got dyslexia. Like,
that's not the definition of dyslexia.
Whatever, man. But you were saying something. The government was beating us.
Yeah, Stockholm Syndrome, spying. It's all, I'm telling you, it's creepy. It's cute when someone does it.
Because we brought
it's
that
cute.
Up.
But there are certain things that if you do it, it's not cute. It's like the phone thing, right?
Uh-huh.
It's like, okay, you showed up with gummy worms. That's cute because you guys were attracted to each other. If her 35-year-old neighbor did it, it wouldn't be so cute.
Yeah.
But there are certain things that, you know, that even if you love each other, there's no excuse for. Like if you hack into her emails. Do you ever have opportunity? Do you have cases where people come up to you and they ask you, because you work at a cell phone company or a mass communications company, and they try to hack into their partner's information? Like they need someone's voicemail number. They need someone's, oh, I locked out of this phone and I can't get back in.
No, I get it from like people like that come into the store. The worst is when your fucking friends hit you up, right? Like, I've had a friend hit me up, like, hey, can you get me a text message log of, like, my boyfriend's texts? I'm like, no, I can't do that. One, because I don't have the fucking technology to do it.
We used to be able to look at.
Like, through, like on the computer and shit?
Yeah, we had a DOS operating system back in the day.
Well, they got rid of that shit for
you guys
reason.
Are all internet-based now.
Yeah.
We used to be DOS operating. You could check out people's texts and stuff.
No. So, you can't do that shit.
You can't see photos is what you couldn't do.
No, you can't do anything. It's an invasion of fucking privacy. And, like, they're like, so I'll get friends who ask me to do it, and I'm like, no. And then the worst is fucking parents. Parents will be like, break into my kid's phone. Ma'am, I can't do that. Why not? Because
this is the kind of trouble of mass technology, right? It's like there are more opportunities to spy on you or get private information. Whereas it doesn't always work that way, right? If you don't have a cell phone, you don't have a credit card, you don't have a bank account, you're considered off-grid.
Yeah.
You're considered difficult to track. It's impossible to build a digital profile of you, right? It's difficult to do any of that sort of stuff because... you're not on the grid.
But like,
it's fascinating that that's all it takes.
But it's hard
it's
to
a couple little
do
bits
that
of technology
now.
That make things convenient for you. And suddenly they have a profile on you. But if you don't use that technology, all of a sudden it's like, they got nothing.
Yeah.
This person's a ghost. Well, they don't exist.
What's crazy is that it's only happened in the recent future, obviously, where it's like technically being off. I mean, people in the 70s. We're pretty off the grid by our standards, right? Because didn't have the technology to.
Did they have credit cards back then? But they had to like use that little old school machine.
Yeah, you're talking about like decades even earlier than that. 50s is when they used that machine.
No, they like we had one.
70s, you still had it, but you started to get
the credit
ability
card
to,
machine
to swipe.
Because
still had the majority of them would make the cop the that big ass thing, but you started to have
But no, like I remember when I worked at Best Buy, we had one.
People had it up until the early 2000s.
Yeah, because
some places still have it just in case their card machines go down.
Yeah, we've used it before. Yeah, like at Best Buy, like a couple times. Down.
And also certain places that you went to didn't have machines; they would have that. But it's fascinating that I kind of wonder, like, in the earlier era where there wasn't this much technology, did we have more sophisticated means? Or maybe not sophisticated. Maybe sophisticated isn't the word. But did we work harder to gather intelligence?
Yeah, you have to fucking hire a private investigator.
It involved a level of different types of skill, right? Trailing someone, going through their trash. Like, there's more work that was involved. And I wonder if that type of skill is disappearing now, because now we can do it all from a computer.
Well, they often wonder, especially with, you know, with serial killers or like modern crimes, like things of that sort, right? Where the detective work isn't quite the same as what it was, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
They often wonder if those skills, like being able to actually track someone with their physical evidence, is a lost art. And what I will say, interesting about that is that in the 70s, when there was, you know, where some of the biggest serial killers in American history were around, a lot of those guys got away because we didn't have the profiling, right? Yeah. Or the ability to transfer the information back and forth, right? So, like, several different counties would be working with their own disparate facts, and they would never kind of get together, or the information would get lost. So on one side, it's good that we're able to transfer this information as quickly as we are, right? At the same time, boots to ground type stuff, I think, suffers as a result of it as well, right? Just the same thing, basic idea with technology.
Yeah, let's not be nostalgic about the past. Yeah, they may have certain abilities, as you point out, right, that have lost. But as you know, a lot of people got away.
Zodiac absolutely. There's also never found.
The idea of not having, for example, DNA evidence, right? It was hard to, even when you caught someone, to nail them.
Yeah.
Right?
But like,
vice versa, it was also easier to convict innocent people.
So
that's true.
So, I mean, like, here's the thing. You're saying, like, the serial killers finding people, like, you know, it's hard to build a profile. It's so much easier nowadays, like, just based on the apps that we used, like, or that we use now to, like, find people. Like, let's say I'm in fucking Venice Beach, right? If I go on Instagram and I go on the Venice Beach fucking, like, geolocation tag, I can, anyone who has a public fucking Instagram like profile, I could see that they posted a picture there. I could look at all their pictures in the past. I could look at every comment that they had without them even knowing it. So I could, hypothetically, I could walk up to you, and people do this shit on YouTube all the time. Like, they'll pretend to be like a psychic and know everything about you. Like, they'll just read different comments, like, and look at pictures. So a couple months ago, you got a dog. His name is Bruno, right? Oh my God, how did you know? Yeah, your friend Stacy helped you go get him, right? Oh my God, he's a psychic. But it's just literally as easy as you posted a picture and tagged yourself in Venice Beach. Now they have a fucking profile of where you live. Some people fucking tag their house and you could find out where their house is.
Yeah, this is the danger of modern technology, right? Is that it's not just that we make ourselves vulnerable because someone's able to hack in, or, you know, like I just had to take a work training email. UCI sent out this training where we do, or the UC systems all wide did this, about cybersecurity, right? So they, like, how to have good passwords, how to have good password questions, how to make sure you're not getting phishing emails or phishing calls, or you're facing social engineering, et cetera, right? So, like, there's all this, like, things you had to be worried about and you had to be prepared about. And it just goes to show you that not only are we making ourselves vulnerable in the sense that if someone knows your password, they now have access to your life, but we also voluntarily give up information.
That's true. In fact, that's all we actually do now. Is like, when you think about it, because any type of social media that we've, you know, that we've subscribed to is, you have to, yeah, I mean, you give literally everything. You give pictures of yourself, pictures of your family, pictures of the people you're connected with, work information, phone number, right, literally everything. And it's like, as much as people want to put up those goofy, like, status updates about I do not give permission to Facebook to publish my shit and all that stupid crap, right? Yeah. The stuff that doesn't make any sense. Despite all that, the second that you put anything up there, it's already in the ether, right? There's no way they're ever going to come back.
This is part of modernity, right? Yeah. So if we take the idea of spying, surveillance, and espionage, it goes through stages. there's the first stage. We look at the kind of pre-modern world. Spying is not a new thing. It's always existed. We know that Ramesses II in Egypt used spies against the Hittites, right? And in fact, Ramesses II was a quite famous propagandist, psychological warfare, right? We know that he lost a war, but he wrote it. He made this giant relief of him winning the war, right? So we know that spying existed throughout history. The ancient Romans had spies. Various medieval governments had spies. And to be a spy involved kind of two elements to it, right? First was human intelligence, and that is you actually send someone somewhere to gather information, and then they send that information back. A perfect example of kind of in popular culture of human intelligence would be Varys from Game of Thrones. He's known as the Master of Whispers because he has spies everywhere, what he calls his little birds, that sing him a song or tell him a whisper. So it's human intelligence that's passed from one person to another or given to a leader. Now, it's militarily considered a good thing. Sun Tzu does it. It recommends it, for example, in his Art of War. But it's not. Espionage is not how the government maintains itself, right? No. The government is justified or maintains itself through different means, whether military coercion or blood oaths or fealty or relationships, right? Like, so you become a ruler and then you appoint all your family members as governors, right?
Yeah. Okay.
That helps nepotism. To maintain your power. Or you become a ruler and you send out garrisons, right? You set up garrisons in various frontiers. That way, the frontier doesn't rebel and break away from your kingdom or your empire because they know your soldiers are right there, right? So you maintain power in different ways. And spying wasn't essential for a government to maintain itself. It was just good military strategy. The second component of it was code breaking. Code breaking is as old as any. I mean, we do it to this day.
It's a tale as old as time.
But to this day, we have this notion of code breaking. In the old days, they did it too. It may not have been on computers, but you would send information to your ruler or your leader in codes.
Yeah.
And so you'd need someone who could break those codes.
That's how they found out about Pearl Harbor.
Yeah. So you had these experts, right? These people who learned multiple languages and multiple different forms of script. More often than not, your code breakers were also like your court mathematician or your court astrologer, right? Because they already are dealing with things like codes and symbols and whatnot. Your alchemist, right? For example, famously, Queen Elizabeth, right? Of the Elizabethan era, the golden era of England. Her code master and her spy person was John Dee, who was her court astrologer and psychic spy. So there's a whole history there. It isn't until roughly the advent of modernity that you start to see the state justify itself or maintain its power through surveillance. So you see this first and foremost kind of in the French Revolution.
Okay. Right?
The French Revolution produces the Reign of Terror. Right. Okay. And in the Reign of Terror, the power of the committee is maintained. There are bourgeois, but it's the committee themselves. It's maintained through two things. One, through the guillotine, the fear of the guillotine, right? Yeah. Effective execution. And two, through effective surveillance. You would turn in people who were seditious, who had thoughts that were not loyal. And these people would get turned in, and they would be effectively and efficiently executed. So you start to see in the French Revolution this idea of
snitches.
You had snitches, right? This idea of the state needing mass surveillance, right? And this becomes a more sophisticated way of maintaining power. You're no longer doing marriages. You're no longer relying on generals. You're no longer relying on armies. You could now control a population through a more sophisticated means of watching. And the kind of perfect example of that would be what we've talked about here quite often. Bellamy comes up with this idea, and Foucault really explains it, and that's the panopticon, right? The prison. I've talked about this like a million times, state. Right? And that becomes the panoptic state. The idea of the state is constantly watching you. And by the idea that the state is constantly watching you and shaping your behaviors through disciplinary and observe and surveillance means, you now are able to control people in a more sophisticated manner than you were in the previous era. But there is another aspect to Foucault that's often kind of forgotten. Everyone focuses on the panopticon. And certainly with the advent of
from French Revolution, World War One, World War Two, and then the Cold War. The Cold War really gives us a mass surveillance apparatus, right? The Cold War is when you start to see real mass surveillance take shape. You have the panoptic state. But there is another aspect to Foucault, and Foucault goes, the second symbol of modernity is the confessional.
So are we just...
Right? Where you confess your information, that in order for you to exist as or have some form of subjectivity, some form of self, idea of self, you have to confess and someone confirms it, right?
Okay. So, like, so what church. Is
the confessional, right? Your sins aren't absolved until you speak to them and someone goes, you are absolved, right?
Okay.
The perfect example of the confessional is social media.
Yeah.
Social media, you do not exist. If it doesn't happen on social media, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
If it's not recorded, it never happened.
Yeah.
Right? So the idea is that...
Pics or GTFO.
Right. So you have to confess yourself online.
Is that why... See...
And then when someone likes it or shares it or whatnot, there's now a confirmation of it. Yeah. So that's another aspect of it. Now, the confessional doesn't develop as a as part of the apparatus of the state.
Mm-hmm.
It develops in industry, right? Social media is capitalism.
Yeah.
But guess what? It works really, really well when you have a mass surveillance state. Mass surveillance state goes, we can now crack your email, or we can just go on your Instagram.
Yeah, so like in nowadays, like when kids get into fights and shit, you have like 30 other fucking kids recording it with their phones and then putting it online on like Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook.
That's the confessional.
And the school could see it. Like, you can't just be like, well, you know, you can't prove that I got into a fight. Yeah, I can, motherfucker. Well,
how many times do people get in trouble because they said something on social media? They said the N-word, or they said something racist, or overtly vile, or they admitted to stealing something.
Exactly. Right?
And they get caught because what happens? They confess.
Yeah, like
they confess.
Man, y'all snitching on yourselves.
Yeah, you're snitching on yourselves. Now, this works wonderfully because it goes hand in hand with, you have professional spies first emerged during World War One, right?
Uh-huh.
You had spies beforehand, but more often than not, that wasn't their main profession. They were mm-hmm. a trader, or they were a scholar, or there was something else.
Mm-hmm.
It was in World War One that we start to see people who were professional spies.
Like the James Bonds.
Right? World War Two, right? But now you go, okay, you have these professional spies that can do stuff like go gather human intelligence, do surveillance. But if someone's also willingly giving up that information...
Certainly makes it a lot easier.
It makes it easier. Yeah. You're able to get a more complete
profile,
whereas the surveillance may not provide the complete profile.
This is what I find interesting, is that it doesn't really take much either, because given our modern society as well, all they really have to do is kind of dangle a couple little trinkets in front of you. And you willingly kind of give up everything, right?
You do.
Like, you had to enter to win a chance to for a free weekend at, you know, in Mammoth Mountain or something.
Yeah.
Or, you know, this is corporate data mining, right? Like, being able to, it's like, all you have to do is answer a couple of questions, and then we'll enter you in to maybe win this.
Facebook is a perfect example of how it can be done subtly, right? You don't even answer any questions, but your confessions and behaviors on Facebook, the things you post, the things you like, are all considered confessions.
Yeah.
Facebook is able to data mine that, collect that, create a profile, and create specific ads just for you. I still get pissed at the fact that I looked
analingus.
I looked up
booty like groceries.
What does eat the booty like groceries mean? Because I didn't know what it meant. And I had nothing but salon articles about analingus on my Facebook page, right? Mm. I looked it up on Google, right? Shows how they're all interrelated. Or I Amazoned this statue, this angel statue. It was made in bronze, right? Uh-huh. The fucking thing followed me around for 6 months.
Well,
everywhere I went, it was off in the corner, that statue.
Well, like, a few weeks ago, we were looking up, like, laptops for the podcast, like a tablet laptop thing for the podcast on Amazon. To this day, I'm still getting fucking emails about Lenovo yoga books and shit. I'm like, motherfucker, I looked it up one time for like 10 minutes. Like, I don't want more. And then I looked up jerseys last week, and now I'm getting fucking emails about like baseball jerseys and hockey jerseys. I'm like, I don't even watch baseball and hockey.
No,
I'm brown.
Mass surveillance can have some positive effects, right? Like when there's an emergency, being able to check in, that's actually quite a positive effect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that your loved ones are safe. But on the same note, it also provides, you're literally
not just into power, like the state that you're vulnerable to, but you're vulnerable to other people. Like, people do things in private. Like, just this weekend, like, there was the Fappening Part 2, almost. It wasn't as big as the first one. But people's photos got leaked. You got...
Is it again an iCloud thing?
It was an iCloud thing. And
this is Apple. Everybody has Apple now.
Right? Yeah. But they were getting it from their emails and stuff too. So it wasn't just iCloud, but majority of it is iCloud. They didn't like hack in. They just guessed.
Someone needs to sue Apple for their shitty ass security.
It's not their security. People are guessing your passcodes, right?
Still,
there's ways to generate people's passcodes and shit. If they find your email, like that's why like giving your email out to random people, like while it's not necessarily a bad thing, it can end up being a bad thing if people want.
But the first happening was actually a.
It was a majority of it was iCloud.
Yeah, it was a failure on iCloud. But yeah, the security was pretty bad.
So the thing is like these people, like you had Amanda Siegfried from Mamma Mia, right? Some of her nude photos got leaked. You got Kate Cassidy from Arrow, right? She plays Sarah Lance or Laura Lance, one of the Lance sisters, the new Black Canary. You had Paige from the WWE, Summer Rae from the WWE, Caitlyn from the WWE. There's a few of them, and then Maggie from The Walking Dead, like some old videos of hers.
Damn it.
Right?
Some of my favorite actresses.
Well, now you can see her nude.
No.
What?
What's wrong with you?
I'm just saying.
I said my favorite actress. I don't want to be... Do I look like Louis C.K. watching her sleep?
A little bit. You're both bald and have a goatee.
Damn it.
Yours just isn't red.
I'm not a ginger. Yeah. I'm miserable. It's kind of miserable.
Yeah. But, like, that's damaging to, like, not just, like, their careers, but, like... People like attack them now.
I don't know if it's damaging to their career.
It can be
in Hollywood, where nudity is like valorized. I highly doubt that it's damaging.
Yeah,
I think what damages them is it's personal violation.
Yeah,
I don't care, but it's not a career thing. It's a personal violation. It's a form of if you were spying and someone watching while they were taking a shower, mm-hmm. that's a violation. It's a sexual
voyeurism.
It's a sexual crime.
Yeah,
right. Right. It's the same thing. We just haven't caught the law hasn't caught up to it yet.
But it has. Right. The guy who got caught like
sometimes, like for example, revenge porn just got approved what 2 years ago was it?
Yeah,
but a year and a half ago.
The fapping dude's facing like 35 years in prison.
But not because of the nudes, but because of security issues, violations. So their corporate is protected.
Mm-hmm.
The physical body is not.
Yeah. I mean it's
right? So for example, if you were to send out a nude of your girlfriend, right, to a bunch of people.
Yeah,
you could get in trouble for maybe harassment, but it's not seen as a sexual crime yet.
No.
Only if they're young kids.
Yeah,
right.
At that point, it's
called, considered child porn or possession of child
distribution
porn, or distribution of child porn.
Yeah.
But the law hasn't caught up to the fact that sending a woman's nudes or a guy's nudes, it's a sexual violation. It's a violation of a sexual kind. In the same way that a peeping Tom is sexually violating someone, so too is someone. Stealing someone else's private information. Now, the fascinating thing about this is, right, it's what? The government is not transparent, right? The government is
hardly.
It's like, well, there's classified information. There's things that we can't tell you. It's always dissembling. But we've come to the point where we expect less and less that we will have privacy.
Yeah.
Well, even Comey said, like, you don't. There's an illusion of privacy.
There is no privacy
doesn't actually exist.
Right. This is the issue, right, of mass surveillance. That's what it produces.
Yeah, but God forbid you fucking like tell us that the government like kills innocent people like overseas accidentally or on purpose and you get fucking considered a traitor.
So that's what like for example, someone's nudes getting leaked, that's not considered a major violation. You try to hold the government accountable or transparent by revealing information. That's a federal crime. Edward Snowden, for example, right? He's facing serious criminal charges.
Or charges. The one girl that got...
Chelsea Manning.
Yeah, that got pardoned.
Yeah, Chelsea Manning, who's going to be released in May.
Yeah, people still call her a fucking traitor and like she's this and this.
But that's what mass surveillance does, right? It creates this kind of dichotomy in which the modernity, which is supposed to be the era of popular sovereignty,
mm-hmm.
of individual liberties, right? Is also the era in which the government has more liberties than you do.
Yeah. I mean, we saw it's always kind of in the name of security, right? I mean, Patriot Act coming out during George W. Bush's reign of error, as it were. Even you look at really anything. And we've also, I think we've done a good job in our society today we fetishize the voyeurism so much that's just become a normal part of our lives, right? I mean, when you think about it, all of our shows are made to look like reality as if you were literally watching these people as they live their lives.
Yeah, Keeping Up the Kardashians is a fucking scripted reality TV.
Two-way cameras. We've mentioned that before also, right? It's like those things. And then even things like with YouTube or Twitch, where it feels like you're actually in the living room with that person. They've made it so normal that it doesn't seem to matter that much.
What is like kind of the weirdest, most surrealist epitome of that.
Twitter, Facebook.
Is YouTube reaction.
Right. Yeah.
You're literally watching someone else watch something.
Yeah, and react.
Or there's a whole TV shows now. The Cube. What is that? Yeah. It's famous in Britain. Is it called The Cube? No, The Tube or some shit in Britain, mm-hmm. where they watch people watch TV. It's now become over to the United States where I think it's on one of the reality TV channels, the ones that does the Real Housewives. What is that called? Bravo?
Bravo.
Bravo.
On Bravo, there's now a show where these families watch reality TV and you watch them watch reality TV. What? It's funny too, because if you ever see the episode, you'll recognize a lot of the people, the families. There, some of them are the exact same families from the React series, the Fine Brothers.
Yeah.
Some of them are from other YouTube channels or their Instagram models. So these are people that are already in the industry. Yeah. Right? They're not actually ordinary people, right? They're often very wealthy. But the point is, you're watching someone watch something.
Yeah. So I have a question for you.
Mass voyeurism.
Yeah. Or you look at EdTV or The Truman Show. Yeah. Right. Other like movies about, it's literally about voyeurism.
Yeah.
But then you want also, but if we want to look at kind of the insidious nature of movies, of government surveillance in movies, though, I mean, there's more than enough to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one that I like is 1988, Enemy of the State.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Will Smith and Gene Hackman, it's
old, that's actually old school and very prescient.
It's actually about the NSA, right? Yeah. And it's, you know, it's all about trying to basically impugn on civil liberties.
Yeah, impinge.
Impinge on civil liberties, you know, by increasing the surveillance powers of the NSA, and then eventually ends up in the death of a congressman, people getting
a VP killing them or something.
Yeah, or, you know, even better, Minority Report, right? Very dystopian. Mm-hmm. 2002, the Tom Cruise movie about, you know, psychic technology, you know, being able to arresting murders before they happen. That's, right, yeah. Being able to like that's literally surveilling someone's mind.
Yeah, it's insane.
You know,
arresting people for doing shit before they even do it.
Yeah, and then V for Vendetta. A lot of this stuff ends up being more dystopian society.
Well, V for Vendetta comes out of that the literary tradition. 1984, right?
Oh yeah.
Now 1984 is a kind of really if you read 1984, which by the way, post Trump has gone back to the bestseller list.
Yeah.
Right. It's actually very rudimentary technology.
Yeah.
It's stuff that CCTV. We kind of take for granted. It's CCTV.
Yeah.
It's just the stuff that it's already in Britain, right?
Britain already uses that. Yeah.
CCTV's already in Britain. And most of the European countries have CCTV.
Yeah.
Like, right? So it's just cameras, it's audio devices, and two-way televisions,
uh-huh.
right?
Oh, so they're watching you.
And they're watching you, yeah. So it's like none of it is particularly like... It's not even the kind of data mining that we think of now. Yeah. It's not even the... digital profile building
that only works when you're making money.
Yeah.
They and only even, care about it when you're making money.
And even V for Vendetta, right, does a really fantastic job of coming out of that tradition, because V for Vendetta's technology is not particularly advanced.
Yeah.
If you watch V for Vendetta, the only real kind of advanced technology they have is the little device that helps other people, that stops other people from listening to you.
Yeah, the detective pulls it out. Yeah,
it's a little thing that opens up and people can't listen to you. At the end of the day, all they're doing is going around in vans and listening in on people vis-a-vis a typical technology of amplifying noise, right?
Yeah.
And then they collate that data. They go, positive mentions have increased by 42%, negatives have decreased by like that's all they do. At the end of the day, it's not particularly advanced technology. It's a propaganda channel, mm-hmm. right? A state-run government. That's all it is. So it just goes to show you that mass surveillance can start very simply. That even the most rudimentary of tools can be used for mass surveillance.
Well,
and part of the message of V for Vendetta is what? Is the sacrificing of civil liberties. Because it doesn't happen by force.
No, we give that shit up.
Yeah.
The chancellor is elected.
Yeah. And he talks, he literally goes through the steps, right? And the formula is pretty standard. Basic, right? Yeah. Or it's pretty standard. It seems like every single dictator who creates a government like that kind of comes in at the same way, right? So we have a lot of the similarities, but it's also important to note that, you know, it's just as easy to have someone who's on the payroll walking around listening to people talk, right? You don't need to have amplifiers. You don't need someone in a van,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, you read about... I was reading a comic the other day called Mouse, right? It's about this guy. The author basically is talking to his grandfather about him living through the Holocaust,
mm-hmm.
right? And he writes it down, but he creates it as mice are the Jews and cats are the Nazis, right?
Uh-huh.
And one of the chapters that's crazy to read about is they're talking about how they would get Jews to go walk around acting like they were trying to run away from the Gestapo, right, to have other Jews help them, and then ultimately they get sold out, right? That would happen all the time, and that was a really, I mean, the whole book, comic, I didn't want to read it, but it is kind of a hard read, because you kind of see the fear and the type of life that people had to live at that mm-hmm. time, and it's hard.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's surveillance, and they're literally using someone who is identified as Jewish, right?
Part of that is this idea that surveillance revolves at level of consent,
right? Yeah.
We consent to participate in this type of digital era. We consent to have ourselves watched. We may protest. We may push back against it. But when it comes, push comes to shove, and we're afraid, we go, okay, yeah, we give up those rights.
Yeah.
If you can keep us safe.
We willingly do it, and we do it quickly, too. Yeah,
and that's when we're willing. On average, though, it's mostly a sense of apathy, right? So, like, you don't see mass protests still going on about the surveillance.
No.
Right? When something gets leaked, then all of a sudden people get angry.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. But in general, we've come to accept that we are being surveilled. We've come to accept that we don't have the right to privacy, right? That we are not entitled to that anymore. And more importantly, we've come to accept that not only are we not entitled, but that we will willingly give up the information. Mm-hmm. That, well, you know, everyone can find out anything about me if they just go on my Instagram.
That's probably true.
Now, interesting enough, that there is a kind of move against it, right? So the millennials in particular have just kind of, as much as they hate surveillance, have just kind of accepted that it's a reality.
Yeah.
But the generation after us is a little bit more private.
Like the younger
ones? They're called Generation Y, for the record.
The older ones?
Generation Z, I'm sorry. Generation Z is the younger generation, so the generation that comes after us.
Uh-huh.
Right? These are the people the best way to kind of understand them is that they remember 9/11 as a historical event.
Okay.
Whereas we remember it as something that happened in our lifetime. Yeah, we saw it, right? Most of them, these are people post 1996. This is called Generation Z. Generation Z, one of the things that they are quite cautious of, because they're very private, is they now use temporary
IP
social media.
I've seen that.
So for them is what? Snapchat.
Yeah.
We're Instagram, Facebook, MySpace, right? I'm talking about our generational things,
Zynga.
Right? Zynga, Twitter.
Friendster.
Right? Things that were permanent.
Yeah.
Right? You put a photo up there, it's there. Right?
Yeah.
You could delete it or whatnot, but you put it up there. Snapchat, right? That's a Generation Z thing. They go, yeah, we're still connecting in social media, but it's gone.
Yeah.
Right? Now, this doesn't mean they're not giving out data. You're still giving out data.
Yeah, no, it's out no matter what.
You're still getting out. But it just goes to show you that there is a shift that's going on generationally, too. We grew up in the era of the USA Patriot Act,
mm-hmm.
right? There is going to be a pushback, I think, eventually against surveillance, because democracy is inherently untenable under a mass surveillance state.
Yeah.
So, like, this current status of how the state exists, with mass surveillance on one hand, but then the promise of popular sovereignty on the other, that's untenable. It's a historical tension that's existed from the French Revolution and is reaching some form of culmination. So there's going to be a pushback severely on this.
And then when you think about, also, and this is important, biometric surveillance is also a big part of our culture now, and people don't even realize how important that is. Like, every time you go, you come in back into the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
You are taking a picture of yourself. They are scanning your face and your eyes, and they're taking your fingerprint when you're coming back into the borders, right?
I haven't left the country since like 2001, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah, but it has. Besides, Canada. But it's regular, because it's the only way you're gonna get back in the country, right? But if you know the same thing when I went to Abu Dhabi, or you go anywhere else, right? There is something that's scanning your features that's literally recording everything about
your physical features.
That's there.
Well, now we do it again. There's mass surveillance of that, but then the other side of the coin is what? We also willingly give that information up.
Yeah.
Fitbit.
Yeah.
Right? Absolutely.
That's a form of biometrics, right? Uh-huh. Or the one that you can send your heart rate.
Right. Yeah, the Apple Watch. Yeah.
So there's all sorts of new ways of sending out your biometrics.
Yeah.
That just helps the mass surveillance aspect.
Yeah. If I want to go in 24-hour fitness, I have to scan my finger.
Yeah, I hate that.
You put in a number, you scan your finger. Before, like when I first got the gym, like in high school,
you just give them your card.
You give them a card, they scan it, and that's it, right? The card had information on it, but like Now they actually got my fingerprint.
But see, that's creepy to me. That's creepy. The fact that we've now come to this point where,
but you know
where
what?
Society has manufactured, the state and society and industry in particular, because they all go hand in hand together, right? Has manufactured a level of consent where they go, well, this is just the way technology is right now. Just the other day, we were playing a fucking what was that?
For Honor.
Called? For Honor, right? And how annoyed was that? Like you have to log in to play, right? Because it's, and it was like, is there a way around this? No, this is just how you have to in order to play the game. You have to be logged in.
And every and game now, me, internet connectivity.
Yeah, and that to me is annoying. Right, that technology is now gone to the point where it forces you to accept its protocol and regulation. I'm like, no, I don't want to have to I don't want to have an iPhone that requires me to integrate all this other technology. I don't want it to have my Gmail. I don't want it to have all this. But you have to if you want an iPhone. If you want to go into the gym, you have to scan your thumb. No, I don't want to have to do that. There needs to be a way to avoid that.
But even you. Who's the most reluctant of us to do shit like
probably
that?
Probably have the smallest digital footprint of us all.
Of us three, but you still have a big digital footprint.
I have Twitter. I have Instagram.
Yeah.
I have my
website.
Facebook is private. Well, my website doesn't give you any private information, all professional information. But I have a Facebook, which has my private information.
Yeah.
Now, I don't have my phone number on Facebook.
No.
I don't have my actual email on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
I also don't put up common information about me. Like when I travel, I actually don't tell people I'm traveling. I travel all the time.
Yeah, I don't even know.
I'm one of the few people that won't go, hey, I'm here, or click tag LAX, bye California. I'm one of the few people that you won't know I've traveled until I've come back.
Yeah.
Right? But
and even then, we don't even know.
I may have something to talk about. Even then, I still have it. It's got my photos.
Mm-hmm.
You can easily see I live where I live. It's in Orange County. You could see where I've gone, right? So there's even me who's reluctant. Enough personal information.
I'm
going to
tag you in a whole bunch of shit.
I don't allow myself getting tagged, right? There's all sorts of things I do that ensure my privacy. But even I have a digital footprint that you can build a profile off of.
Mm-hmm.
And that's telling that we now live in a society where all of this is happening at the same time. And so surveillance has become not just a thing you do for strategy because you have enemies. You got to find out about the bad guy. It's the way the state maintains itself. And that is inherently contradictory to the language of popular sovereignty, of democracy. That's a tension that's going to have to be dealt with. Either by accepting the fact, okay, we are now officially a police state or a totalitarian state, or going, no, fuck it, we need to return back to popular sovereignty.
Well, before you fucking scare off all of our listeners by all that, I'm gonna lighten the mood. Because we're getting close to ending this podcast.
Is it that time?
It's that time, bro. But ever since last week when I talked in a Donald Trump voice reading his tweets, I feel like I should read Donald Trump's tweets as a foreigner. So this week we're going to go from one that he did in March 17th of 2017.
Wait, what are we going to call this segment?
We're going to call this
Persian Trump.
Foreign Trump. Because I may switch it. I might do Arab one day.
Okay.
You know, but for this week... Because of Nauruz and the Zoroastrian holiday.
Foreign dictator Trump.
Yeah, foreign dictator Trump. We're going to do it for Iran this week because it's Persian New Year's. So this is a tweet that he was reading about or writing about North Korea. And North Korea is behaving very badly. They have been playing the United States for years. China has done little to help.
Yeah, it does. Like, it sounds exactly. That's how I hear it in my head now.
Right. As it should.
Yeah, because it does. That's not.
That's how I could see an old petulant Persian man saying that.
I see that mostly as like a 1960s Iranian dictator.
You know, Ali V has done nothing to help us. Why he not help us?
He's Vietnamese.
He's behaving very badly. We need to punish them.
I'm gonna share a fun story from history about surveillance that little few people kind of know about. So everyone knows Christopher Marlowe.
Yes.
Christopher Marlowe wrote the Faust, Dr. Faustus.
Don't yes. do this.
Do you know what just Dr. Faustus it. Is?
Dr. Faustus.
Have you heard of a Faustian deal? It's the deal you made to be on this podcast.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
It's where you sell your soul to the devil in return.
Oh, I've heard of this.
That's a Faustian deal. Well, this story, it's ancient, the concept of selling your soul, but becomes popularized in medieval literature by Christopher Marlowe,
right?
Who some people think is actually
the devil.
This is Shakespeare. Oh. Shakespeare is a pseudonym for Christopher Marlowe, or one of many authors. Christopher Marlowe is one of them. Okay. I'm not sure if I believe that, but we'll see.
Okay.
Christopher Marlowe writes a book called Dr. Faustus, a play called Dr. Faustus,
okay,
based off of an actual guy named Faustus, a German dude, yeah. who supposedly sold his soul to the devil.
Okay.
In return for magical powers, he gets to see Helen of Troy, et cetera, et cetera.
Ah. Right.
It's then remade and written by a guy named Girth.
I like that name.
Yeah.
Who is? Oh, jeez.
Wow. But, it's actually spelled Goethe.
Yeah. Oh, G-O-E-T-H-E.
Yeah. It's not Girth.
Oh. Gwit. No.
So anyways, like Christopher Marlowe, it was actually Christopher Marlowe was actually a British spy, an English spy. He spied for Her Majesty. Uh-huh. So in addition to Christopher Marlowe, one of the more famous spies in World War I was Mata Hari. You guys know who Mata Hari is?
Hari, yeah.
Ah, yes, he is the father of Badr Hari.
No, Mata Hari was a famous Dutch courtesan an exotic dancer.
Uh-huh. Stripper.
It's, have you ever heard have you ever heard a woman being called a Mata Hari?
No.
It's like a traitor, a treasonous seductress.
Yeah.
You've never heard? I've called women. Or you Mata Hari. Yeah.
Or a Lucretia Borgia.
Yeah. Have you never heard right? that? I use that a lot. Yeah. You Mata Hari.
No.
Some girl was flirting with me. I'm like, you Mata Hari. Away with you.
I have never heard these terms.
I was trying to finish up my essay. It was interrupting.
I've never heard of these terms.
Mata Hari was this famous. She was actually born Marguerite MacLeod.
Oh.
Or MacLeod. I don't know how the Dutch say it. MacLeod. Anyway, she was actually a very famous courtesan. She was known for being very sensual and sexual and attractive.
She banged the information out of you?
She didn't bang the information, but they wanted her to bang the information out of people. So during World War I, they hired her to spy on Wilhelm.
Ah.
Oh, right? The Kaiser.
Yeah, the Kaiser of Germany.
I knew that one.
And
no,
so,
you didn't.
I did. Kaiser, I swear I knew that one.
Because you think Kaiser's Permanente.
No. I think of Kaiser Sose.
Oh. So, another movie reference.
She was hired to spy on Kaiser Wilhelm and basically seduce the information out of it. But what they didn't realize is that Kaiser Wilhelm didn't have much information because he was really kind of a symbolic figure. Mm-hmm. He didn't actually run the military operations.
Yeah.
And so they were really angry with the bullshit information that she got. Most of it ended up being just gossip and rumor.
Mm-hmm.
And so they wanted to get revenge on her. And so they intercepted, air quotes, a German code claiming that Mata Hari was actually a spy for the Germans.
Double agent.
So she was a double agent. And in 1917, they arrested her, they tried her, and they killed her by firing squad.
What?
Yeah. So kind of a... one of the oldest, older examples of spy versus spy, of spy thrillers, right? This is James Bond. But before there was James Bond,
it was
Mata Hari.
Yeah. Yes. Also, if you want to look at any of these interesting audio codes, right? There's one called, I think it's called the Czech Lady Code, where it's just a Czech woman like naming off numbers, right? And it's a code that went on from between like 1984 to like 2001 on like a Russian channel. And like it's just... It's a weird thing about governments is they just kind of let the codes kind of go, right? It's like an unspoken rule. They just kind of let the codes go. And then the idea being that it's not always necessarily there to be transferring information as much as it is about basically letting them know that things are still like status quo.
Or also codes were used quite frequently to throw the enemy off the trail. You'd have someone trying to break a code for months and months and months, and it actually wasn't... anything. It wasn't revealing it. You deliberately leaked that code out. And World War I is where we first see the advent of machines trying to break codes, or the idea that codes can be broken mechanically.
The best code breaker I know is Chris Jericho.
Shut up.
On that note, we had a Persian. We had an interesting conversation about surveillance. We had Persian Donald Trump.
Yeah,
foreign dictator Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What other accents can you do, Diz?
I can do a lot. We also had a fun tidbit from history. So, Diz, why don't you take us out?
Of course. As always, you could find us on Facebook, facebook.com/currentlynerdy. Go on there, like our page, make your friends like our page. We're on Twitter, @currentlynerdy on Twitter, @Instagram, currentlynerdy on Instagram, Tumblr, currentlynerdy.tumblr.com, YouTube. We just did a new video on YouTube where V played For Honor very badly. And then we're on iTunes. Rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes. We're now on Stitcher Radio. So if you didn't hear before the podcast, we're on Stitcher Radio. Make sure you subscribe and make your friends subscribe. If you want to get a hold of us individually, you can. V, how can I get a hold of you?
Of course, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at VTran214. That's VYTRAN214. And you can find me on my website at thesandwichslayer.com. Ali?
You can catch me on Twitter and Instagram at AAOLOMI. Be sure to follow me there. You can also find me on my website at alialomi.com. Diz.
You can find me on Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff at Dizbola. You can send me your nudes. I won't leak them, I promise.
Nope, don't send them.
Please
send everyone here at Curly Nerdy, thank you for tuning in. And remember, stay smart, sexy nerds.
And we love you. Happy New Year.